How many of you have been going to life groups? Raise your hand. We need to get a couple more of you in there. We don't want anybody to be without a life group. A life group isn't just a Bible study. It's not just a get-together. It's a time to get to know each other on a deeper level, to be a little bit more transparent, to pray for one another, and ultimately to use your gifts. Because God has gifted every single one of us with special gifts, some many, many, some not so many, but all of us gifted. Because it says if you have Christ, you have the Spirit. The Spirit, he says that he deposited grace gifts in us. Charisma. That's where they get the word charismatics, those crazy people that are actually using their gifts. And so God's called us to use our gifts and to walk in that. And that's what we do in our koinonia time. That's what we do in our life groups, living in fellowship every day. That's why we like the life groups. And hopefully, as the life groups are continuing, some of them are just barely going, and some of them have been going a couple of weeks now. But as they continue, you're going to watch there's going to be a level of depth and transparency that's going to take place in those groups as the Holy Spirit begins to open us up to one another, because we're still kind of a little bit afraid to be transparent and honest and real. And as that begins to happen more and more, you'll see it's going to be like dominoes. As that happens in your group, you'll see one person will get really real and transparent, and then somebody else will feel more comfortable to do that, and then somebody else will. And then you'll start having this regularity of clarity and honesty and transparency happen. And as that happens, now we can pray. Now we can build each other up. Now we know what you're really dealing with. But a lot of us wear masks. We just do. And we're trying to get to a place where in your life group, there's no masks. There's no need for that kind of thing. And you'll just be flowing in the Spirit, flowing in love, flowing in acceptance, you know? And I like that phrase. What if God's not so concerned about fixing us as helping us be transparent and know ourselves and know Him? What if God's not so concerned about fixing you? How many of you, if you were being honest, know there's stuff in you that needs to be fixed? Raise your hand. I didn't think you'd ever put your hand up. That's good. That's good. No. How many of you think that the person next to you has some issues? Yeah, we're already starting. This is great. Every hand goes up. That's funny. But that's really what we want to be. We want to be that grace place, that place where you know, I know I've got issues. I know I stumble over this a lot. There are things about me that God is still at work on. Now, you're saved by grace through faith, not of works. You're in. In terms of being in, if you're in Christ, you're in. So your eternity is secured. You're good with God and all that. But you got to work on doing the right things for Him to really love you, right? Nobody's going to argue with me? No. Well, what I mean is for Him to really like you. You got to work on some things, and then God will really like you, right? So He loves you and He likes you? Wait. So you're telling me God likes you even though you're messed up? Yeah. Yes. Well, then we should work on liking each other even though we're all messed up. See? And that's church. That's really what we are. We're the body of Christ. We're all called together to be the body. Everyone has gifts. Everyone is being used by God to strengthen each other. And I love that passage in Ephesians 4, next chapter, where it says that He gave us prophets, apostles, evangelists, and then what? Pastor teachers, that's a hyphenated word. Some call it the fivefold ministry. Some call it the fourfold ministry. It's really the fourfold ministry because it's pastor hyphen teacher. That's the role that I get to do, which is fun. And for what? Why do we have those people? For what? For the equipping of the saints for works of ministry. This is great. Who said that? Oh, it sounded like it came over here. For works of ministry that we might all come to unity in the faith, unity in our love for Christ. And then as that continues, guess what happens? We become to maturity, the full measure of Christ. You want to grow? You want to become mature? You want to be full in Christ? You're going to have to start ministering to one another. It doesn't happen without that process. So he gives us that whole process, gives us, you know, prophets and evangelists and pastor teachers for the equipping of the saints, that the saints might minister to one another. Hospitality, generosity, encouragement, you know, even things like hospitality, having people over your house, opening your home. You know, you have people at your house all the time, Gail. That's the gift of hospitality. Some people can't do that. It wigs them out. And some people are like, if I don't get my house spotless clean, nobody's coming in. That's not the gift of hospitality. That's the gift of, oh my gosh, you know. And there are some of you that you just go, hey, my house is my house. It's what it is. I live life. And when you come, this is the way it's going to be. Sorry, I can't run around and straighten up every time somebody wants to come by. There are others of you that I say, you need to clean up a little bit. Yeah. And I always crack up when women say, oh, I'm sorry for the house. And I'm like, I would never have noticed. I'm a guy. I'm not really here to inspect your house. I'm here to hang out. And so, but you have those gifts. You know, some people have the gift of generosity. Some people have the gift of healing. They can pray and people, it's powerful. Some people have the gift of faith. They believe God says what he says and he means what he says. Some people have a word of wisdom. That's the right word at the right time for the right situation. Or some people have a word of knowledge. That's a really wild one where you know something about somebody's situation and they haven't told you. You ever had that happen where you have an insight that you can't possibly know? God gave it to you, and you say to somebody, you know, I feel like, and they start crying, or they're like, "You can't, how do you know that?" That's a word of knowledge. You know, God gives us that. And so as we begin to flow and allow the Holy Spirit to do this, can you imagine somebody coming in to your life group or whatever, and they say, you know, Julie, God gave me the sense that you're dealing with this, and you haven't told anybody. And they say that. Doesn't that make you feel like God knows me? God is connected to me. He's even speaking to me through somebody else just to get my attention and let me know it's just not my weird dream or my weird intuition. God is speaking to me. That's why we have those gifts. It's so much fun. So use those gifts. Don't be afraid of them. And remember, every single person here has the Holy Spirit. If you're in Christ, if you're not in Christ, we need to talk about getting you saved, because in Christ is the place we want to be. That's the whole book of Ephesians, is in Christ. You don't want to be out of Christ. You want to be in Christ. You don't want to be in church, but not in Christ. Do you know what I mean? And when I say in church, I'm saying that in the very secular way. Hey, we go to church. Hey, we went church. We're in church. No, we are the church in a very biblical sense. You don't go to church, you are the church. This is where the church gathers. We're the church, we're gathering. But this isn't church. But we say that, don't we? I'm going to church, or it was a good church meeting and all that. But really, we are the church. So it's interesting that he's gifted us so that when we're gathered together as the body of Christ, let that sink in for a second, the body of Christ. Can you let that sink in for a second? Because it's easy to say the body of Christ, and you're like, yeah, church. That's not what he's saying. He's really saying, wait, think about this. The body of Christ. Christ is now seated at the right hand of the Father in the heavenlies. His Spirit lives in us. Father, Son, Holy Spirit are all one. And he's working through the Spirit to do his will in this world. You're the body of Christ. Every single one of us is an absolutely significant and important player in the body of Christ. Now let that sink in for just a second. Oh, that's a mystery revealed. Something never seen before. This is a new thing. So for just a minute, I want to take a minute. We just had Thanksgiving. We're going to do a little bit more of that. I want you to share what you're thankful for that God has done, where you go, he did that. This couldn't have happened unless he did that. So, what is he doing? What has he done? What's he in the midst of doing right now in your personal world? So this is our Koinonia time, is we're going to share with one another.
Check.
On this mic. And oh, you go, oh, I can't stand microphones. Get over it. Because we need to hear from you. That's you ministering. That's the Holy Spirit in you ministering to the body. So don't be afraid of this microphone. Even Julie uses it, and it worked out okay, didn't it? You were fine with that. So what's God doing? Who would like to share something God is doing, or a prayer request that you know he's working on right now, something you want to share with the body? It's your turn to share. And we will wait all day. Don't forget, it's potluck Sunday. You don't get here done, we're not eating. You're going to share? Donna, you're awesome.
I just wanted to say how grateful I was that...
Can you hear her? Is that on?
Hello, can you hear me? Okay.
Mason, can you turn the wireless mic up a little bit, please? Go ahead.
Okay. I just wanted to say how grateful I was. A few weeks ago, my husband was really sick, and I was worried, and we prayed for him here, and he was healed. He was completely healed, and I have seen it. I mean, he was coughing, and I was getting worried, and he was healed, and he felt it.
And he felt it, yeah.
Thank God.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. Oh, my goodness. That's the kind of stuff we want to hear. What is God doing? Now, had you not shared that, we wouldn't have been able to rejoice with you. And it's amazing how God has been doing that more and more. My wife was involved in that, wasn't she?
Yes.
Yeah. So Betsy got to pray, and he literally sensed it. So he said to me that day, he says, oh, I think the Lord healed me. I'm like, that's good. That's good. I didn't realize he meant, I think the Lord healed me. I just overlooked it. That's like twice I've done that now. She prayed for my...
He felt it from his head to his toes.
Did she say that in her prayer?
I don't know.
I'm sure she did. That's what y'all... I would pray that God touches you from the head to your toes. And boom, that's funny that you said it. That's her words. Now, not that Betsy's all that special, but she is. Betsy's a few steps ahead of most of us in her faith. And in her walking out this healing thing, I remember last year, my nephew had a really, really bad back problem. It had been going on for months, probably a year. And the doctor said he needed to have his spine fused. There was no way to fix it. And he said, no spine fused. I'm just going to live in pain. And he was living in pain. And then he came to visit us. He had to come from Utah. So he'd been in his car for quite a few hours, and he couldn't straighten up. He got out. He was in pain. He was almost in tears. And we said, well, let's walk it off. Can you walk it off? He goes, yeah, I think that'd be good. So we're walking, and Betsy starts praying, putting her hands all over him and praying. And I'm kind of wandering. Yeah, I prayed too. And then there was some kid going by in his big wheel, and I was messing with this kid. And all of a sudden, they're still walking, and all of a sudden, Bronson's going, I can't believe it. I can feel warm. I can feel. And she starts crying and praising the Lord. And I'm playing with this kid. I'm like, and here this miracle is happening. And he straightened right up, and he started jumping up and down, going, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. And later on that day, it was 100%, every single part of him. And that's been 2 years now, a year and a half, 2 years. I can tell you multiple things. And I'm like, well, why does she get that and I don't? Well, I have some unbelief. I still struggle with that because my whole life I was told we can't do that, that had stopped when the apostles left. She never heard that word, so she believed that he's still doing it, and he still does it. So, great lesson. Thank you for sharing that. And you're not just goofing around. Bob felt it, sensed it, got changed. I almost called him Murph. We're in the midst of a revolution, a spiritual revolution that is happening right here at the Way. Why? Because we're lining up with our name. This is the Way. This is the way he does it. Don't be afraid of that. Don't be hesitant. Okay? We got to get rid of unbelief. Not give me more faith. That's not it. It's stop doubting. Stop resisting. Stop going, that ain't going to happen. It's going to happen. God does miracles. If you need a miracle, God's got one for you. Remember, it used to be demand, demand, demand. You need to obey. You need to do this. You need to do that. And now it's supply, supply, supply. The law of supply and demand. Old covenant, Demand, new covenant, supply, supply, supply. God's given you everything you need for life and godliness through your knowledge of Christ Jesus. Amen? That's supply, baby. That's supply. Who else wants to share? What's God doing? Yeah.
Well, along with Cody getting saved, I mean, how can you beat that? But we had a really serious prayer about 3 weeks back. This thing just does not like me. It doesn't like
that. That is wild.
We had a real serious prayer about 3 weeks back for Sherry. And while we were praying for Sherry, God's power just leaked out and got all over me. And I have seen an amazing healing in my legs. Just amazing. So I'm last week I only had to take my medicine one time. And it's a horrible medicine that turns me into a zombie. So I only had to take it one time last week. And every single day I've been feeling God working on my legs still. And I'm so happy. And also, I know there's some of you who haven't heard my chicken story. So right now, we've got some really silly chickens who, it's a brand new flock, so they didn't get to be raised by adult chickens. And they don't know how to go into the coop at night. They are so silly. And so the first night that it was going to be freezing, I woke up in the middle of the night and realized it was going to be freezing. I killed it. I woke up in the middle of the night, realized it was going to be freezing, so I got all bundled up, and I went down, and I spent about a half hour trying to chase the chickens to put them into the coop. And I got maybe half of them in, and all of a sudden I stopped, and I realized, why am I not praying? And so I stopped, and I prayed out loud, and I said, Jesus, if you can make that donkey talk to Balaam, you can make my chickens go into the coop. And then I said, please do that, Jesus. And then I said, thank you, Jesus. And the minute I said that, the rest of the chickens hopped up onto the little gangplank and walked into the coop. It was amazing. So now, every night when I go down now, all I do is say, go to bed in Jesus' name. And they hop up on the gangplank and go to bed.
That's so amazing.
It's amazing. I mean, I don't want to treat God like a...
heavenly bellboy.
Yeah, but my goodness, he cares. He really cares about little things. Wow.
Even your little banty rooster. That's an amazing story because it sounds so, yeah, right. No, it's legit. It's legit. God does that kind of stuff. He loves us. Why wouldn't he do that? You know, she didn't tell another story where her dog got out. If her dog gets out, it wants to eat chickens. Or go over to the neighbors and eat their dog. He thinks he's playing. But when that dog gets out, it's a big deal. So she and Joseph were looking for him, and they're looking everywhere, can't find the dog. And she said, wait a minute. Lord, was it you that prayed or Joseph? If it was you that prayed, Lord, bring the dog home. It was Haas. Bring Haas home. And like, really? Sure. And all of a sudden, Haas comes right back. Now, that dog doesn't come home. He doesn't come home until he's done some mischief. So we're learning, right? We're learning. You can trust God. And even guys, even with mechanical stuff, you're working on something. You can't get that nut off. You've tried everything. You've put, liquid wrench on there. You've put a torch on it. You can't get it off. You're just like, God, you got to help me. I'm going to lose my mind. And... so I, please, and all of a sudden, it falls off. It was so hard just a second ago. Can God do that? Yes, and it's a very mechanical, fundamental thing. You go, that's a weird thing to pray about. No, he can help you. He can help you. You're in the middle, I keep thinking about you guys that are working so hard, and you're in the middle of a job, and a piece of equipment breaks. You're like, now what am I going to do? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Love that, right? Proverbs 3. And then, I love that passage that says, all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. So you're in the midst of this thing where your equipment breaks and you don't know what you're going to do. It can come back to life. All of a sudden, your equipment's working. Somebody can drive up and they happen to have that piece of equipment in their truck. How did that happen? Or you have to go down to the rental place and there they have what you need and that saved the day. And maybe while you're there, you get to share Christ with somebody, they get saved. You're like, so wait, all things work together for good. that's weird. So God sent me to the rental place and I got to share Christ with somebody. You know, that's what happens all the time. So don't wig out. Traffic backs up. You're going to be late. Don't wig out. God's going to use that. He's going to use it. That's the way he is. Don't wig out. You are in this world, but you're not of this world. You are different. So how else has God been touching this body? Because now that you've shared that, that's our body. That's us. Right? So he's blessing us. When that happens, that's us. Take it. Thank him. Rejoice in that. You know, we just celebrated Thanksgiving. No, let's be thankful. Lord, thank you for these wonderful stories of your grace and your supply. We receive that. We don't doubt that. We want more of it. Not that we're greedy, but that's who we are. We get to walk in that. So that's wonderful. Thank you. Who else wants to share what God's been doing? Wonderful stuff. Don't put me on the spot, especially with a microphone. Oh, Dave, you're just trying to outdo your wife.
I just am really, really thankful for all of the work that God is doing in this body of believers. All the time, because it's just so true. It's amazing to watch and to see the growth in this body as people hear the grace message, as people see it applied in their lives, as people seek God's word to find out if it's really true. And it is. The growth in this body of believers over the last year has just been phenomenal. And I love to be a part of it. I love to be able to pray for each and every one of you. And to receive each and every one of your prayers. It's an amazing work in everything that we do.
Wow, thanks for that. That's, yeah. Since I've been here, well, when did I start coming here? January 1st? Oh, wow, we're coming up. We're 11 months now. Since I've been coming here, I've seen tremendous growth in our understanding of grace, understanding of our identity in Christ. Are you sensing it? Are you sensing something's different here? I know everything has changed. I get it. Right? I mean, I'm a different type of a pastor, and I do things differently than past pastors. And I believe that I'm a coach, and you're the ministers. I really believe that, and I function that way. I believe that you have authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and overcome all the power of the enemy. He can in no wise harm you. I believe you have authority to bring healing, to bring blessing, to step into a need. I believe that you are as gifted, if not more gifted, than the elders and leadership of this church. We're just here to love you and to be there in crises and all that and to train. I mean, really, I even have on my office door head coach, because that's what I think my job is, head coach. Pastor's an interesting term that we use. And there is a place for that, which means shepherd. But really, in this structure, we're a team. And I just want to coach you. And I've been a coach. I've been a coach of several different sports. And I love coaching. And I love getting the best out of my kids. And I love seeing them win. And I love seeing them discover things in themselves they didn't even know they could do. Isn't that fun? How many have coached? How many of you guys have coached? Betsy's coached. I've coached. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about. When you see your kids do what you can see in them and they're doing it, that's better than winning a game. When they get self-confidence and when they suddenly are excelling, so much fun. That's how I feel when I see the body working. That's how I feel when somebody blesses somebody else. And I get to stand in the shadows and just go, awesome. That's a joy. So continue being the body. Continue doing what you do. And like Dave said, we're seeing stuff, and we're very proud. Proud to be a part of this body. Proud to be brothers and sisters with you guys. And I know God's got wonderful things that he's continuing to do, and there's more coming. There's more coming. Get ready. Get ready. We're just beginning. Amen? Yeah. Father, I thank you for all those testimonies of your goodness and your grace. And we're not just blowing smoke. We're not just making stuff up. You are moving in our midst. We love that, and we thank you for it. And as we're entering into this Advent season, this Christmas season, as we're entering into really the coming of Christ to earth to dwell among his people, let us not forget how powerful all this is. that it's not Santa Claus and gifts. It's Jesus Christ and a transformed world. And we love you. Continue to guide us and steer us, fill us and use us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. This is fun, man. We just had Thanksgiving, and now we're coming up on Christmas and all of God's goodness. We're in Ephesians chapter 3. We went through some of this last week. Last week, as we were looking at this, that we are fellow partakers. Yes, we're in Ephesians 3, 1. For this reason, he says, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, and then he goes off. And he doesn't come back to that thought till verse 14. He went nuts. For this reason, and then he just stops and he goes, wait a minute, I want to tell you something. Surely you heard about the fact that God called me to be a steward of this grace that was given me. That is the mystery made known to me by revelation. This is verse 2, right? As I've already written briefly about that, verse 3 that was. In reading this then, you will be able to understand my insight into this mystery of Christ, which was not made known to men in other generations, as it has been now revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. But guess what? This mystery is that through the gospel, the good news, that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, fellow members of the body, and fellow partakers of the promise in Jesus Christ. What? What are you saying? It gets good. But he takes a pause there. He starts off by going, for this reason. What reason? For what reason? He's trying to create a dwelling place for him. How do I know that? Because last chapter, last verse, verse 21 and 22, the last chapter, it says, in him the whole building is fitted together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together into a dwelling place for God. That's his purpose. We're going to see that in verse 14. That's where we're going. That's where he wants you to understand. You are his dwelling place. You know, a lot of people say, let's go to church. You know, or God's house. I love God's house. Let me tell you something. The building is not the church, and the building is not God's house. You are God's house. You are the dwelling place. And when we are fitted together, each stone being fitted together, that's marvelous. That's the temple. So we saw the temple in the Old Testament. There was the very first temple, and then there was Solomon's temple, destroyed, gone. Well, where's the temple now? We're the temple. We are the temple of God. That's an amazing thing, folks. What does that mean? That means we're made to be fitted together. We're made for each other. If somebody's bothering you or rubbing you the wrong way, pray that God works that through. Pray, I like to say, if somebody rubs you the wrong way, you might want to turn around. You know, what's going on there? We're the body of Christ. We should be the most unified people on the planet. Will people rub you the wrong way? Yeah, that's going to happen. Will people irritate you? Yes, that'll happen too. But your job is to not be offended, not be irritated, and pray for those people. Love them. Love those who irritate you. I think that's what it says. Love those who irritate you. He does say stuff like that. So I'm telling you, don't let people get under your skin, and don't let relationships be broken because somebody irritates you or somebody said something, oh, now I'm offended, or somebody voted the wrong way. We let the dumbest stuff separate us, and we're the bricks, the very stones of God's temple being fitted together with Jesus as the chief cornerstone, chief cornerstone. If you've done any reading on any of this stuff, you know, if you're building a temple or a big building, you got to have something that, okay, it's going to go north and south and east and west, and I want it to be fully aligned with that. And then every other stone is going to be aligned with that cornerstone. That cornerstone sets that foundation. It gives it straight and level walls, structure, foundation. Jesus is the foundation. If you're not building on Jesus, give it up. You're building on weak and shifting sand. There's only one foundation. It's Jesus Christ. And that's what he's talking about, is this miracle this mystery that was unknown in past generations and was revealed at Paul's time when the Holy Spirit revealed that even the Gentiles are part of this, and they're part of this temple. They're part of this building. They're not strangers. They're not foreigners. They're not aliens. And them is you. We're not Jews. I mean, is anybody here Jewish? No? No? I was going to try to get some good pickles from you, but if you're not Jewish, forget it. You know, anybody done the 23andMe thing, the genetic study to find out what you really are? You'd be surprised, you know. I think I'm half Italian, and I think I'm the other half German-English, right? Wouldn't it be funny if I found out I'm Jewish? That'd be cool. They're like, well, I'm Jewish. But you know what? I'm better than Jewish. I've been grafted in. I've been adopted. I'm a joint heir. There's nothing the Jews have that I don't have. There's nothing that the Jews merit that I don't have because of Christ's blood. It's a whole different ballgame for us. But even Jews and even Gentiles are fitted together through Christ, the cornerstone, to build this foundation upon which he's building this temple. He's still building the temple. It's called the body of Christ universal. We're all a part of it. This is the local expression of the universal body of Christ. And I wish that it wasn't the way and new hope and the Father's house and family church. I wish it was the Church of Sutherland. Just happened to be meeting in those locations. Because in all reality, we are, right? We're the Church of Sutherland. And that's how he works. He works geographically. You'll see that. The Church of Ephesus, the Church of Laodicea, the Church of Thessalonica. That's how he works. So we're the Church of Sutherland. I feel that we're part of those other churches, don't you? I feel that those guys are our friends, are our brothers and our sisters. I feel that they're part of the family of Christ. And I look forward to more of this going on. You know, they got a brand new pastor down at New Hope. So I went down and met him. His name is Dan. He's an awesome guy. And so I told him, my vision, my dream is that we're one in Christ. And he says, me too. I come from a town where all the pastors work together and we're all united. I'm like, great. Let's do that. As long as we're in Christ. I'm talking about Christian churches that love the Word of God and love Jesus, right? But that's exciting. He's open it. John, the guy at the Father's house, same thing. I met with him, and we're going to get connected. So over this year, my goal of this year is that I'm able to meet with all the pastors in this town and that hopefully we can put together a pastor's fellowship. Why not? And so somebody will come into the church and go, I'm looking for a church that kind of feels this way or feels that way. I'm like, you know what? I know the pastor down there. You might find that church fits you. And that's okay, different flavors, same church, the body of Christ of Sutherland, but different flavor. That's okay, right? So I want to be able to link up with them. That's the mystery revealed. We're all one. We're in Christ. That's the mystery that Paul's talking about. So he's in the middle of talking about for this reason, and he goes, wait a minute, I want to make sure that you get where I'm coming from. Before I go on to verse 14, you guys have got to get this. Do you realize that God has given me a stewardship of this gospel of grace? I feel like he's done the same thing here at The Way. We have this stewardship of the gospel of grace. And it's been my experience that as I talk to various believers in this town and various pastors, most people don't get what grace is. You people do. And you're sucking it in. You're basking in it. You're learning. And we're seeing grace. And grace is that you are accepted. You are loved. You are perfect in Christ's eyes, in God's eyes. When God looks at you, he doesn't see you with all your flaws and all your brokenness and all your past history. He's not pulling up your rap sheet going, you know, and you want to be an elder? Forget that. He's not doing that. He's going, oh, perfect, holy, set apart, mighty, crucified, transformational. What? This looks like Jesus Christ's rap sheet, right? Yes, it is the rap sheet of Jesus Christ. That's ours. He gave us a new future, a new now, and a new past. When you came into Christ, all things became new, right? Kainos. you're something completely different than you were. And so that's what's cool about us. This is the way. This is a church that teaches grace. And when I say, a lot of churches go, I teach grace too. You know, we've all been saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. We get that. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, we get that. But when I say grace, I mean you got nothing left to do. It's finished. It's called the finished work of Christ. When you came to Christ, he transformed you. When you gave your life to Christ, he said, okay, let's do this. When you came into his arms, he said, I'm done. So now that you're a Christian, I got this stuff you got to do. So go to church, memorize some scripture, share your faith, look like this, act like this. He doesn't do that. Not at all. He says, now that you're here, you can rest. What? You've been running around trying to be accepted, trying to be holy, trying to do things right. And let's be honest, you ain't been doing real good. So I'll tell you what, how about you take a nap? Let me do it. Well, there's some stuff in me that really needs, I know. Let me work on that. Well, I've got to do that. You don't got to do nothing. You get to be still and know that I am God. You get to watch me transform you. You get to watch me knock off those rough edges. You get to watch me fill you with the Spirit and do mighty things through you, because you were created. You're Christ's workmanship, created to do some wonderful stuff that he created before you were even born that you get to do. He's got all this stuff that's supposed to be done in the world, and it's waiting to be done for you. So what do I have to do, God? What do I need to do? Be still. What? Be still and know that it's me who's at work in you, causing you to desire and to do my good pleasure. You have nothing to do with it. Before, you were trying to do a lot of stuff and you weren't very good at it. Let me do it. And I'm great at it. And I am going to do things in you that you haven't even thought of. I'm going to do abundantly, exceedingly above and beyond anything you've ever hoped or imagined. I can hope and imagine a lot of stuff. He's going beyond that. God's working in you. He's creating something very special. Now you might go, wait a minute, Mike, you don't realize that I'm 78 years old. Yep, and you're just young, and he's just getting started. He's got a lot of stuff that he gets to do in you. Don't look at your age. I'm too young. You know, nobody's going to believe me. Well, he told Timothy, don't let anybody look down on your youthfulness. Knock it off. He told other people, don't worry about the fact that you're old. There's no age in this thing. None. Zippo. You are just right, and you're just on time, and God's going to use you. He promised that. That's not something you got to do. That's something you get to watch. Is this making sense to you? I mean, talk about Christmas. That's Christmas. You have everything you need for life and for godliness in Christ Jesus. I don't know about you, but that's pretty exciting. Now he continues on and talks about that now we're fellow heirs. What do heirs get? All the what? All the goodies. All the inheritance of the king. Fellow members of the body. Yes, we are. And we are partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus. You know, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4 says, we are partakers in his divine nature. You're no longer just human. Remember, all things have become new. You are now a partaker of his divine nature. You have a dual nature, a Christ nature and a human nature, right? You don't have a sin nature. That's been removed from you. You have a Christ nature now. This is exciting stuff. So now you're partakers. And don't forget, we talked about holy last week. What does it mean? We're holy in Christ. Holy is not a feeling. Holy is not how you act. Holy is, he said, I want you. He set you apart for his kingdom, for his purpose, for his family. You've been called out of the world into the kingdom of light. You were in the world, now you're in the kingdom of light. You've been pulled aside. I told you that I've said this to people at lunch as I'm talking about what holiness is, and they'll argue with me about it, and I'll say this. Can you hand me that pepper right there? Well, yeah. And they and hand me the pepper. And I said, you just made that holy, you know. What? You just set it apart. You gave it to me. You set it apart. This is holiness. Has nothing to do with the quality of the pepper. Has nothing to do with the pepper shaker or anything. It has to do with the fact that you grabbed it and pulled it aside. That's you. Holy. Set aside for God. You're holy. So don't wait for something to happen to you. It already happened to you. If you're in Christ, you're holy. Set apart. Now he says this, verse 7, and I became a servant of this gospel. Gospel again. Gospel, good news. God's spell on people. Gospel. A servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace. Takes Paul, who was anti-God, fully this Jewish uppity, you know, Pharisee guy, trained in the best schools, Jew of Jew, Hebrew of Hebrews, Pharisee of Pharisees, and God grabs a hold of him and he makes him a servant of this gospel, good news. How did he do it? By the gift of God's grace, giving him through the working of his power. The gift of God's grace, that's charis. Charis, charismatic. Gift of God's grace. It's a grace gift. Paul's a charismatic. I became a servant of this gospel by God grabbing hold of me, just like he did with you. There's no difference between you and Paul. No difference. God's doing this work in all of us. If you're in Christ, you got charis. You got his grace. Amen. That is just cracking me up. You don't realize the power that sits in this room right here. The transformational, world-changing power. He did so much with just 11 apostles. He changed the world. How much more can he through you? As the Holy Spirit lives in all of us, as we're the body of Christ, can he change this world? Yeah. And let him begin with you. Let him do his thing. He's still working on you. He's still working in you. Relax. He's got a wonderful plan. And he says, I became a servant of this gospel by the charis, grace gifts of God given me through the work of his power. Though I am less than the least of the saints, right? He was very humble because he realized he used to kill saints. He used to go out and torture them. He says, but God grabbed hold of me even though I'm the least of all the saints. And this grace, this charis was given to me. What was? To preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to illuminate, to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ and to illuminate, to shine light for everyone, not just the Gentiles, but everyone, and to illuminate for everyone the stewardship of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God who created all things. His purpose was that now, this is the best line of this passage, I think. You might want to circle verse 10 and 11. This is so rich, it's breathtaking. His purpose that was now, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to the eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus. So in Christ, he accomplished an eternal purpose. What was that purpose? He talks about for this reason. He talks about a dwelling place. He talks about a lot of stuff. It's all based on his eternal purpose. His purpose, he starts off in verse 10, was that now, at this moment in time, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities. Rulers and authorities? Yeah, the whole universe is watching. Rulers and authorities. That's demons and angels. He is doing something that the heavenly realm is watching. You know what he's doing? I left it out as I read through that. You might have seen it because I skipped over it in verse 10. I skip over it just to make it stand out when I say it again. Because you didn't miss a beat. It sounded great. His purpose was that now the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities. What did I leave out? Through the church. That's the most important part of that entire sentence. But you leave it out, it sounds decent. It's okay. Yeah, that, yeah, he wants to make the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms according to his eternal purpose, la-di-da. You leave out through the church, you've left out the entire sentence. Through the church. He's going to accomplish all of this. Everything that he's talking about, this glory that Paul's talking about, he's going to accomplish this amazing thing. He's going to reveal this mystery. He's going to change the universe, and the rulers and authorities are watching, and he's going to do this through what? Through you and me. You've got to let that sink in. But now, through the church, the incredible manifold wisdom of God you made known to rulers and authorities, something that they've longed to look into forever. You know, Romans 11:33 says this, "Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and how untraceable are his ways." He's revealing them now, that unsearchable stuff. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God, Romans 11:33. How unsearchable are his judgments and how untraceable are his ways. And now, through the church, he's making those known. You. He's making them known through you. How? Because we are the very workmanship of Christ. We're his poema. And as this is so hard to even imagine. Imagine, you guys, you're the unsearchable riches of Christ. You are the poema of God, and you're going to go home today and have lunch and do what you do on a Sunday afternoon, take a nap, watch a game, whatever. And then tomorrow starts work day for some of you and just the next day for the others of you. And you're like, so what? Yeah, so what? So what? You're going to leave here. You heard a sermon. You got to hear some lovely piano. We get to sing some songs, and now you're going to go out of here. Big deal. Has anything changed? Are you going to make an impact? What's the next thing? And I'm not trying to put a guilt trip on you. Not at all. But why I'm saying, you better be aware of this, that you were made with a purpose in mind, that God has his hand on you, and he's going to use you if you rest in him. But you need to be consciously aware of that. You need to constantly be consciously aware that you're not just anyone. You have a divine nature and a divine purpose, and every breath you breathe is a gift from God, and every minute on this earth is a gift from God, and he's using you. Do you see it? Not really. Are you aware of that? Keep talking. What do you mean? So where are you going to go tomorrow? What's your work? Yeah. Am I cross-eyed? You're going to go to work tomorrow. What are you going to do? What's your job? What? Rehab. Your job is rehab. And then you're going to come home. And then go, that was a tough day. That was a good day. It was fun to see my friends. Maybe you had some time off. Did you have some time off? So now you're going to go back again. Do you know you got a holy calling? You're not just going to work. You're going to work as a mighty emissary of God's kingdom, of heaven. You are walking in there as literally an ambassador of heaven. Don't be surprised. God wants to use you, and he will. Be aware. Be alert. Nobody on that floor is like you unless they're walking in Christ. But when you know your identity and you walk in that identity, I don't care what happens tomorrow, you're on holy ground. And he's going to do something spectacular through you. And you may not even know it because you're resting in Christ, right? It's not like you're doing something. But you're walking in Christ. You're resting in Christ. And guess what? You're changing the world. Now, just be aware of that tomorrow. I don't know if when you get on, you know, you drive and then you get on the campus of wherever you're working and you realize I'm walking to the door. I am on holy ground. I'm on mission. God's using me. This is going to be a spectacular day. And then you do the same stuff you did the last 10 days. It's exactly the same. But you're consciously aware that you're not just anybody. Try to do that. Try to be consciously aware. And then watch. Because God is using you. You just aren't consciously aware of it. God's touching lives. You just haven't been consciously aware. Try to be in the now. Try to be conscious of that. And you're not going to work tomorrow, right? You're just going back home, right? You're retired. You got not a lot of stuff to do. Do you know that you're a mighty poema of God, a mighty beautiful masterpiece, and he's got stuff he's going to do through you? Are you going anywhere tomorrow? Oh, you are. Bad example then. Forget you. No. Where are you going tomorrow? Well, this is wonderful. So you're going to a doctor's appointment, and they're going to look at you and examine you or do whatever they do. Do you realize that God sent you there? Do you realize those people are lucky that you walked in? Do you realize that had you not come, they would not be touched by heaven? You realize that? You're on a mission. So when you get in the car and you head to the doctor's, don't just head there as somebody going to the doctor. Head there as a missionary. Be aware, not that you have a single thing to do, nothing. God's going to do it in you and through you. But you're aware. You're consciously aware. That's the mystery he's talking about. Be aware that you're in this world, but you're not of this world. He's working in you and through you to change every situation. You guys, you getting this? Gail, where are you going tomorrow? All right. Everybody's going somewhere. I want somebody that's going nowhere. So she's... You're going, all right, Murph, what are you doing tomorrow?
Nothing.
Oh my goodness, finally. Nothing. And in doing nothing, do you think you're doing something? Yes, because you're Murph, the guy that knows everything. No. But you know what? You got Ray in your life, and she's got you. And you guys are a couple, and you are a partnership in Jesus Christ. And even there, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, you're sitting there and God is in your life, speaking to you, working in you, changing you. You don't know what's coming up this week. You don't know who's going to knock on your door tomorrow. Nobody knocks on your door, but maybe tomorrow. You don't know. So you want to walk in a conscious awareness that you are not your own. You were bought with a price. God has filled you with his spirit. He's going to do something wonderful tomorrow. How many think God's going to do something wonderful in your world tomorrow? How many think that? Always. There, now I'm back.
Even when you're home, Pastor, and doing nothing, you know, I mean, I'm retired and I have long, quiet days, but then God just brings somebody to your mind to pray for or to call, or there's always, and when there's never nothing.
You see this? This is a seasoned saint who gets it. You're preaching my sermon. That's it. You're preaching my sermon. That's it. And, you know, I know Gail. I know she means that. That's not just talk. She gets her identity. She understands that Christ lives in her and through her. Praying for people, loving people, ready for whatever might happen, whoever's going to come her way, that's the church. You see who you are? You see who you are? Don't leave here without recognizing that. Oh, that's so glorious. Listen to this. 1 Corinthians 2, he says this, 2:7. No, we speak of the mysteries and hidden wisdom of God, which he destined for our glory before time began. What? God has hidden wisdom, and he has destined for our glory before time began. He's got this stuff that he's putting together. It's already out there. God's working. I want to read Colossians. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions and rulers and authorities. All things were created through him and for him. Did you see that? For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones, presidents, or dominions, demons, and their rulers and authorities. All of this was created by him and for him. So we go back to verse 10. His purpose was that now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished through Jesus Christ. These things exist. You're walking in eternal realms. Do you realize that? Heaven and earth touching right now. You've got rulers and authority. You've got demons and principalities, and you've got Jesus Christ. You're in Christ. So we've got authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and overcome all the power of the enemy. He can in no way harm us. You're okay. You're in good standing. You're protected. But you have authority to trample on these demons. You have authority to make a difference. You have authority to change this world. Do not go out those doors without realizing your identity, because you'll be beat up. You got to realize who you are. And if you don't realize who you are, the enemy is going to get the best of you. He's going to tell you that you're no good, or you stink, or you should do better, or he's disappointed in you, or you're not really cutting it. And the truth of the matter is, you're awesome. He loves you. He wants to work in you and through you. All you have to do is rest in him and watch. That's you, church. That's who you are. I think that's wonderful. There's so much more to this story. I've got a couple more verses, but we'll get on to that next week. Last week, I was talking about our DNA in Christ, our DNA, and Betty comes up to me. She goes, "Determined nature of the Almighty." I thought that was cool. DNA, determined nature of, that's your genetic structure. God's determined nature, his almighty, I like that, DNA. That's your DNA. God's doing stuff. And even when we're dumb, when we're out, we're not focused, God still does stuff. Have you ever noticed that? You ever seen something incredible happen? You go, I don't know how that happened. I really wasn't in the game. My head wasn't in the game, and God still did something through me. That's grace. God is working in you and through you all the time. Why? Because you're his. Because you gave yourself to him. You let him have you. You made a deal with him. And here's the deal. I can't do it. Please take over. Jesus, take the wheel, you know? And he did. So you're awesome in God. He's going to walk you through all your challenges this week. He's going to bless you, and he's going to supply all of your needs in glory. He's already done that. Just receive it. He's already done that. He knows what you're going to encounter. He already provided. Wow. God is not a God of demand. He's a God of supply. And you have everything you need for life and for godly living in your knowledge of Christ Jesus. Be still and know that he is God and you are not. And when you get busy and you start trying to do his goodwill, you're going to screw that up. Be still. Let him flow through you. So Amy, I'm excited about tomorrow. I'm excited. As you walk in your new understanding of who you really are, and that job that you do every single day is not a job, it's a mission field. It's a calling. It's God's hand on you. He placed you there. He's got a purpose for you there. Enjoy it. Watch. There's nothing for you to do. Watch. Go do your job the way you're supposed to do it, of course. But watch. In the midst of that, he's going to touch lives. Betsy didn't know when she prayed for Bob he was going to tingle and fill it from head to toe. She prayed. God showed up. That's his thing. Oh, wait till you see where we're going. This is so exciting. I want to read one last verse. Isaiah 55. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." God's doing stuff and we don't even perceive it. Oh, we're part of the body of Christ. Now we're going to take communion, co-union. We're commingling our union. We're in Christ. And because of that, we can take communion with him, the Lord's Supper. And we're going to do that. And then we're going to go share a meal together. We really like communion in a meal setting because every time you see it in Scripture, it's in a love feast. Every time you see it in Scripture, the only one that isn't like that is kind of the Last Supper. That's a very solemn thing because Christ is revealing what's going to happen in just a few hours. But even at that, it's a joyful thing as he's breaking the bread and he's just saying, "I love you guys, man." And so we're going to do that right now. We have little crackers we're going to spread around, and everybody's going to take the cracker, and then we're going to have a little juice we're going to spread around, and we're going to do communion. And as we do that, we're going to spread this all out, and then we're going to pray, and then we're going to spread this all out, and then we're going to pray again. And then we get to be dismissed. So why don't you come on up and help me with this, and we'll pass this out. Father, as we come to this, as we come to this communion, this Lord's Supper, this Eucharist, we pray, Lord, in your Spirit, that we might be moved, we might somehow recognize this beautiful mystery, and that as we take communion together, that there will be a real sense of unity, a real sense of body, a real sense of purpose for each one of us. We thank you for your goodness and your grace. Bless this time. In Jesus' name, spread this out. Jesus said, you know, you can read this in 1 Corinthians 11 and several other places in Scripture, but he said that Jesus took the bread on the night that he was betrayed, and he broke it, and he said, "This is my body given for you. Every time you do it in remembrance of me." Oh, Father, we thank you for this. Jesus, we thank you that you gave yourself and you took the punishment that we all deserved, because we all, like sheep, have gone astray. But through your grace, we've been called home, and we are now partakers, participants in your body. Thank you for your body given to us. Thank you for the stripes you took for us. As we take this, we remember you. We thank you. We remember each other. We are the body, and we rejoice in that. So now, as we rejoice in Christ, let's take the body together. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, and then he took the wine and he said, you're not going to understand this, but this wine is my blood. It's the new covenant written in my blood. The new covenant. The old covenant was, if you, I will. You must, you should. The new covenant is, I got it. I'm doing this for you. I love you. Rest. There's nothing left to do. It's the finished work of Christ. As you drink this juice, remember, you are made new in Jesus. Amen? Let's take that. Oh. Father, we thank you that you gave us this reminder, this simple little thing, bread and juice, bread and wine, simple, to remember such a profound, wonderful thing. Oh, Father, we love you and we praise you. And we thank you for your goodness, your grace. Thank you that each one of us is filled with your Holy Spirit. Each one of us has the gifts of the Spirit to use to bless the body and to shine your light and love to this incredible world, Lord. Thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Now we can go to the fellowship hall and enjoy all that stuff. You can smell it. Smell those crock pots going? Let's head over there in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Julie.